I just want to address some of the Catholic silliness that's coming out on the tax bill and the desperation tactics not to use, not to address the real issue on the providing tax cuts for all Missourians and small businesses. Okay, what we're seeing is the same thing we saw last summer, is a pattern of scare tactics and deception to avoid addressing the real issue of whether or not Missourians deserve some of their money back. Last week at the Community College conference call, and we have the audio of that call for you if anybody would like to listen to it, the governor started laying out a plan to find a major flaw in the bill. Okay, never once in this five-page bill have he and his staff of lawyers ever talked to the General Assembly about a flaw in the bill. Their departments reviewed the bill to provide us fiscal notes. Never once did they identify any sort of major flaw in the bill that would potentially open up the hole that he appears to be claiming today. So after last Thursday, and we heard the audio of this conference call, House and Senate leadership got together, and we decided to try to address this proactively. We were and are confident that there's absolutely nothing wrong with this bill, that the bill does what it intends, but we decided let's go out and get another opinion. Okay, so Senator Dempsey requested another opinion from former Supreme Court Judge Ray Price, which has been provided to you, okay? And that letter is provided to you, as well as a statement from both the Senate Pro Tem as well as the House Speaker. And in that, it's been opined that the Missouri courts would find that after full implementation of the reduction, the 5.5% tax would apply to all income over $8,000, adjusted for CPI. When you're looking at a bill, whether it's a tax bill or any other bill, you don't get to cherry pick one sentence out of a multiple page bill and ignore everything else that's in the bill. This is plain statutory construction. Okay, the Supreme Court and all courts will also look at the intent of what the overall bill is meant to do. So I think this is a diversion that's intended to avoid talking about the real issue. So we wanted just to get a rapid response out. As soon as this charge was made, we knew about it. We were ready for it. We believe it's utterly ridiculous. And we've got, I think, solid legal backing to back us up.
Well, the governor's office also has a legal opinion from a longtime professor at Washington University who knows law and knows finances. And
sure.
She says that it would. So you're saying that the language, the bracket for income subject to the top rate of tax shall be eliminated once the top rate of tax has been reduced to 5.5%, does it mean that taxpayers over $9,000?
Absolutely not. You have to read it as a whole. You're ignoring the sentence before it. Okay? And the sentence before it says that the director shall rewrite the tax tables to effectuate the provisions of the law. When you rewrite the tax tables to effectuate the provisions of law, the bracket over 8% is now 5.5%, and it gets rolled into that. And keep in mind, the reason tax tables have to be constantly adjusted, as is required in this bill, is because it's indexed for inflation.
But there's no language in the bill that says, that eliminates the, but not over $9,000.
It's not necessary, because the bill itself is self-effectuating. The director is to rewrite the tax tables to implement the purpose and language of the bill.
So you're confident that
absolutely
a legal challenge that eventually winds up across the street, that they would agree with Judge Price?
I think it's laughable that they would take the interpretation of the governor.
But you're asking the Revenue Department then to, in effect, avoid or ignore a specific provision of the state law that says not over $9,000, which
is
in the law.
That is fundamentally not true.
Okay.
What we're asking the revenue director to do is to write tax tables to implement the provisions of the entire statute. You don't get to cherry pick one sentence and ignore the rest of the law. Once the tax tables are rewritten to effectuate the top rate going from 6% to 5.5%, it blends in with the top rate at 8% of over $8,000 at 5.5%, and it's indexed for inflation. So by the very nature of it, the tax tables are not static. By the very nature of it, now they're static. Under the new law, they're not static, and they require a constant rewriting by the director of the tables to effectuate the terms of the law.
But what is the language that says, Mr. Revenue Director, you get to remove the but not over 9,000 and make
it's
over 8,000 the top bracket?
To rewrite the tax tables in accordance with the law.
But the law says...
No, it doesn't.
Over 9,000 shall
doesn't.
Be eliminated.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It says rewrite, and the 8%, the 8,000 and over is at 5.5%.
Well, I'm just thinking of when colleagues who are going to go to court over this and fight for years.
I think, and look, if someone, I think it's laughable that the Supreme Court would take that interpretation. Laughable.
Does this raise enough doubts that you could lose some votes on it?
Absolutely not. I think it's a game. It's the same kind of game that was used last summer. It's not going to work.
John, there are two options here. I mean, there is another. Your House bill is pending in the Senate.
Sure.
So you could take that bill, amend it, take out the sentence he doesn't like, and pass on that bill without the sentence.
I mean, fix something that's not broken?
Yeah. Do you want to fix something like that?
I'm not going to fix something that's not broken.
So you would wait for him to veto and then override
it? Yeah, I think we'll dispose of this veto first.
Now, you mentioned that this was not a problem in 253, though, so why the difference in the language according to his statute?
Because it wasn't indexed for inflation.
Senator Lamping, who is kind of a financier, looked at this and thinks it's going to take $14 billion in economic development improvement to offset the amount of money the state will lose for this bill. How do you respond to that kind of thing?
I haven't spoken to Senator Lamping. I'll be happy to try to figure out what his math is.
You mentioned that the bill had been vetted by the Department of Revenue and they get fiscal notes for it.
Correct. Yeah, budget and planning provided fiscal notes for it. They never raised this issue. I believe, Alex, did education also raise fiscal notes on this?
Do they have any responsibility for pointing that out to you? I mean, they don't
well,
take the bill anyway.
If it's true, wouldn't it be an $8 billion cost to the state?
They say $4.8
billion. Okay. Well, their fiscal note wasn't $4.8 billion. So that shows you right there. They didn't think it was true a couple weeks ago.
Is it possible that Mr. Ardini said that during the full press bill review after you guys passed it last week is when they realized what this language says. Is it possible that nobody in the governor's office and nobody in the legislature caught it, but that it is in fact true?
I think that's laughable.
Everything's laughable.
It is. It's funny.
When did they tell you of this problem?
They haven't yet.
Okay. Well,
so I just learned about it from you guys.
The governor's office is just looking for any excuse to veto this.
Yeah, what they're trying to obviously look at their strategy is they know we have the 108 votes in our caucus to override the veto. They know Senator Dempsey has the votes over there. So what they're trying to do, just like yesterday with some of the stories that hit, that they're trying to use scare tactics. Remember the memo yesterday that the K through 12 argument isn't working, so now we have to ratchet up the pressure on mental health, and we have to ratchet up the pressure on early childhood. This is just another tactic that's being used to try to scare people, to try to peel off one or two people. It's just absurd for anyone, any serious legal argument, to think that the Supreme Court of Missouri on that language would toss out the Missouri state income tax. Well, it's absurd.
Judge Price lost opinions before. He wasn't always right across the street. Why are you confident he's right this time?
And probably this guy at WashU's probably never argued before the Supreme Court.
It's a gal.
Our gal. I thought you said guy before.
Let's flip the argument for a minute, though. You guys are set on doing this. The governor's office has consistently said it makes too big of a hole in the state budget.
Sure.
Hurts revenues too much. You haven't fully funded the school formula. And even if you wait till 2017, there's no guarantee that the revenue stream will keep fully funding the 2005 law as this legislature passed it. You keep saying it's laughable. You keep saying the governor's office is looking for excuses.
They are looking for excuses.
Why isn't it the reverse, that they're right and you guys are looking for excuses to keep
Well, that's what policy's for. So if that's what he feels, he should veto the bill today, and let's figure out why not we got the votes to override. Veto it today. Why are you playing games and trying to scare people for the next week? Veto it today, and let's roll.
You and Representative Riddle have scheduled a news conference for this afternoon at the Fulton State Hospital.
Right.
Is funding for the Fulton State Hospital tied to the success of the
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, it's just the opposite. Okay, so last week, the governor's office started a narrative that we were threatening to hold up Fulton funding, which is an utter untruth. Okay, in fact, if you look at the governor's press release from last week. He said that the legislature voted to fund unnecessary bonding projects. The only bonding project that the House of Representatives has taken a position on is Fulton State Hospital. We're out there today to say we're firmly committed to it. This should be completely unrelated to any tax bill. And then also the memo yesterday where the outside groups helping the governor saying we need to ratchet up pressure on mental health cuts leads to the fact that that's a narrative. It's another scare tactic that they're going to try to do. So our message today is that as far as the Missouri House is concerned, I believe the Missouri Senate has the same position, that this is completely unrelated. Don't scare these people. Okay? We're going to try to get this done.
Should the bonding bill that comes over from the Senate, mm-hmm. when it gets to the House, should you folks just peel everything out about Fulton then?
Well, that's part of a discussion. There may be other worthwhile projects we're talking about, but the House is committed to getting Fulton done, even if it's standalone. And we have been for weeks.
Well, and the governor said at the news conference last week, Fulton is not what he targeted.
Well, he didn't say that in his memo. So let's talk about who's being precise and who's not being precise here.
Can we
okay?
have a copy of the memo that you've got?
Oh, absolutely. It says unnecessary bonding projects.
Right, but he didn't define those.
Well, okay. But now we're supposed to believe his analysis on what's defined and what's not defined in a bill. We're being pretty clear about where we stand.
When will we have a chance to meet with your caucus to get their take on the governor's claims?
Oh, we'll speak with them. I'm in pretty constant communication with them.
What are you telling your caucus about the need to be in attendance over the next few days or few weeks?
Rudy, you seem like someone in a rabbit hole over there. I'm like looking over their shoulder here. That's okay. You're tired.
But what are you telling people about attendance in terms of, like, stay near their desks so you'll have 108 people here when the veto override comes?
Well, let's wait. The governor hasn't vetoed the bill yet, so we'll talk about that when he decides to veto it.
And his office says he's still reviewing it, so there won't be a veto.
So maybe there'll be other major flaws. It is 5 pages. That's an awful lot to read.
I
think they may be able to get through within about 2 weeks or so. I predict 10 days from now they'll finish their review.
It may be not much to read, but isn't it more difficult to analyze because it is tax law?
Maybe that's why they should have started a couple months ago when the bill was filed.
But is there any purpose to analyzing a bill while it's still in the process and you guys could have completely rewritten it?
Sometimes you could argue that, you know, we pay and the taxpayers pay for legislative liaisons in the governor's office to come over and talk to us about bills. They're in the hallways all the time. Okay? That maybe if this is such an obvious flaw, okay? I mean, come on. This sentence is pretty plain. Okay? It's something anybody, a non-lawyer, could take the sentence and make the strained arguments that are being made right now, and they're strained arguments. Okay? The reason that they're not valid arguments is because you have to read it as part of the statute as a whole. And when you read it as part of the statute as a whole, they're laughable.
So the opinion from Judge Price, did he just do that free or was he retained, hired?
I think Senator Dempsey's office contacted him to do that.